Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a nation where even the way we sing our anthem is being re-examined, where artificial intelligence is being forced to wear a label, and where the very earth beneath the Himalayas is cracking in ways scientists never thought possible. All of this happened on a single day, and each development carries a weight for your exam preparation. Let us walk through them one by one. First, the Ministry of Home Affairs has issued fresh guidelines on the protocol for playing the national anthem Jana Gana Mana and the national song Vande Mataram at all official and public functions. Remember this fact, Jana Gana Mana was adopted by the Constituent Assembly on 24 January 1950 and its prescribed playing time is exactly 52 seconds. Vande Mataram, on the other hand, was composed by Bankim Chandra Chattopadhyay in his 1882 novel Anandamath, and it was first sung at the Indian National Congress session in 1896. The Prevention of Insults to National Honour Act of 1971 governs any misuse or disrespect of the anthem and the flag. The new advisory makes it crystal clear that the full, untruncated version of Jana Gana Mana must be played at every official government function. This step follows several incidents where the anthem was rendered incorrectly at public events. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For prelims, you must remember the adoption date of Jana Gana Mana, the author and year of Vande Mataram, and the year of the Prevention of Insults to National Honour Act. For mains, think about the symbolic importance of national identity, the role of the Ministry of Home Affairs in issuing administrative directives, and how national symbols shape civic life. Turning to the digital sphere, the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology has notified the IT, Intermediary Guidelines and Digital Media Ethics Code, Amendment Rules, 2026, which will come into force on 20 February 2026. What makes this significant is that every piece of AI-generated content must now carry a prominent label, and the uploader has to declare that the material was created by artificial intelligence. For non-consensual nudity and deepfake videos, platforms now have just 2 hours to take down the content. If a court or the government orders removal of illegal material, the window shrinks to 3 hours. Crucially, any platform that knowingly permits such synthetic media will lose the safe harbor protection under Section 79 of the Information Technology Act, 2000. The rules also allow states to appoint multiple officers to enforce takedown orders, introducing a decentralized enforcement model. Why does this matter for UPSC? For prelims, you should recall the 2021 Intermediary Guidelines, Section 79 Safe Harbor provisions, and the new 2-hour and 3-hour takedown timelines. For mains, you can discuss digital governance, intermediary liability, the right to privacy under Article 21 and the landmark K.S. Puttaswamy judgment, and the broader challenge of regulating AI-driven disinformation. Next, let us examine India's aviation sector, which is under renewed scrutiny for its dangerous duopoly. IndiGo now commands about 63-65% of the domestic market, while the Air India Group holds roughly 27-28%. Together they dominate about 90% of all domestic routes, and IndiGo is the sole carrier on roughly 60% of those routes. The Bharatiya Vayuyan Adhiniyam, or BVA, enacted in 2024, replaced the Colonial Aircraft Act of 1934, bringing India's aviation law in line with ICAO standards and the Chicago Convention of 1944. However, the Directorate General of Civil Aviation still faces a severe staffing crunch, with about half of its technical posts vacant, hampering safety oversight. In 2025, the DGCA had to grant 236 temporary approvals for foreign pilots because of a crew shortage. India's domestic aviation market is now the third largest in the world, and the number of airports has more than doubled from 74 in 2014 to 163 in 2025. Yet, aviation fuel taxes constitute 40-45% of airline operating costs in India, far above the global average of 25-30%. Remember the past airline collapses, Kingfisher in 2012, Jet Airways in 2019, and Go First in 2023 as cautionary tales. For your exam, note the DGCA, the BVA 2024, ICAO, the Chicago Convention, the Udaan scheme launched in 2016, and the high cost of aviation turbine fuel. These facts are useful for prelims, while for mains you can explore competition policy, infrastructure development, and the impact of regulatory gaps on safety and market dynamics. Now, let us move to education. The Ministry of Education has released a discussion paper on integrating artificial intelligence into school and higher education, building on the National Education Policy of 2020. The policy had earlier proposed the National Educational Technology Forum, or NETF, as a platform for exchanging ideas on technology in education. The new AI framework is structured around three A's: awareness, understanding what AI is, application, using AI tools responsibly, and advancement, building AI systems. India aims to train 5 million A-skilled individuals under the National AI Mission, also known as IndiaAI. However, the digital divide remains a major hurdle, with stark urban-rural gaps in device ownership and internet connectivity. Existing digital infrastructure from the National E-Governance Plan and the PM-EVIDY program can support AI-powered learning tools, and both CBSE and NCERT are piloting AI literacy modules at the secondary level. For UPSC, you should remember the NEP 2020, the NETF, the PM-EVIDY initiative, the IndiaAI mission, and the role of CBSE and NCERT in AI literacy. In mains, you can discuss Digital India, education technology, and skill development in the context of AI. Shifting to geopolitics, NATO has launched an enhanced Arctic Sentry surveillance mission with Finland, Norway, and Iceland as primary members. India, though not a NATO member, was briefed as a NATO Plus dialogue partner and an observer state of the Arctic Council. India has been an observer of the Arctic Council since 2013, and its comprehensive Arctic policy was released in March 2022. The Arctic holds roughly 30% of the world's undiscovered natural gas and 13% of undiscovered oil, according to USGS estimates. The Northern Sea route could slash the India-Europe shipping distance by about 40% compared to the traditional Suez Canal corridor. India's research presence in the high north is anchored by the Himadri station at Nilesund in Svalbard, established in 2008. While India does not belong to NATO, it participates in selected NATO-led dialogues and deepens strategic partnerships with NATO members such as the United States, France, and the United Kingdom. For your preparation, keep in mind the Arctic Council observer status since 2013, the 2022 Arctic policy, the Himadri station, the potential of the Northern Sea route, and India's engagement with NATO dialogues. These points are relevant for prelims and for mains questions on foreign policy, climate change, energy security, and polar research. Now, an extraordinary archaeological discovery: Tamil Brahmi inscriptions have been confirmed in Egypt's Valley of the Kings, near Luxa, the ancient Thebes. The epigraphs date to the 1st and 2nd centuries CE, the zenith of Indo-Roman trade. Tamil Brahmi is a variant of the ancient Brahmi script used to write Tamil from the 3rd century BCE to the 5th century CE. Earlier, similar inscriptions had been found at Kusir al-Qadim, the ancient Myos Hormos, a Red Sea port that linked Tamil merchants to the Roman world. The Periplus of the Erythraean Sea, a 1st century Greek mariner's guide, records direct trade between Indian ports such as Mujuripattinam or Muchiri and Egyptian Red Sea harbors. Goods exchanged included Indian pepper, ivory, fine cotton textiles and precious stones, while Rome and Egypt exported gold, wine, glass and copper. These findings corroborate references in Sangam literature to Yavna, or Greek and Roman, traders. Remember the script's time frame, the location in the Valley of the Kings, and the earlier Kusir al-Qadim discovery. For prelims, these facts link to Tamil Brahmi, Indo-Roman trade, and the Periplus. For mains, you can discuss ancient trade networks, cultural exchanges, and their impact on Indian history. A debate has also flared around the publication of memoirs by defense personnel, sparked by General M. Narvane's book covering his tenure as Chief of Army Staff from 2019 to 2022. The core issue is the regulatory framework governing such publications. The Army Act of 1950, the Air Force Act of 1950, and the Navy Act of 1957 are the primary statutes that govern service members. Army regulations require serving officers to obtain prior clearance from the Ministry of Defense before publishing any book, whereas the rules for retired officers remain ambiguous. The Official Secrets Act of 1923 prohibits disclosure of information that could compromise national security or defense installations. The government has started to enforce clearance norms even for retired personnel when operational details are involved. For comparison, the United States mandates pre-publication review through its respective services, and the United Kingdom requires MOD clearance for sensitive content. Key points to lock in: the Army Act 1950, the Official Secrets Act 1923, and the Ministry of Defense's clearance requirement for serving officers. This is a favorite prelims fact, and for mains you can explore civil-military relations, freedom of expression versus national security, and accountability mechanisms. On 11th February, we also marked the Punyatithi, or death anniversary, of Pandit Deendayal Upadhyay, a principal ideologue of the Bharatiya Jana Sangh and the founder of Integral Humanism, or Ekatma Manav Darshan. He was born on 25th September 1916 in Mathura district and met a mysterious death on 11th February 1968 near the then-named Mughalsarai railway station. In 1965 he articulated Integral Humanism, a philosophy that seeks holistic development of the individual, physical, intellectual and spiritual, while rejecting both Western capitalism and Marxist socialism. He also championed the concept of Antyodaya, the upliftment of the last person, a principle that continues to influence the BJP's poverty alleviation programs. The railway station where he was found has been renamed Pandit Deendayal Upadhyay Junction since 2018. Remember his birth and death dates, the year Integral Humanism was founded, and the renaming of Mughalsarai. These facts are essential for prelims, and for mains you can discuss modern political ideologies, post-independence politics, and the evolution of welfare concepts. Turning to science, a parliamentary standing committee report has highlighted chronic underutilization of the budgets of the Department of Biotechnology and the Department of Science and Technology. In several years, these ministries have spent only 45-50% of their allocated funds, raising concerns about India's research and development capacity. India's R&D expenditure stands at roughly 6.4% of GDP for 2021-22, far below the target of 2% and well behind nations such as South Korea at 4.9%, Israel at 5.4%, China at 2.5% and the United States at 3.5%. Total R&D spending in 2021-22 was about 1.27 lakh crore rupees, with the private sector contributing nearly 36% compared to around 70% in advanced economies. Key institutions include the Indian Institute of Science, the Indian Institutes of Technology, the Council of Scientific and Industrial Research with its 37 laboratories, the Defence Research and Development Organisation, the Indian Council of Agricultural Research and the Indian Council of Medical Research. The Anusandhan National Research Foundation, established under the Anusandhan NRF Act of 2023, has a corpus of 50,000 crore rupees over 5 years, largely funded by the private sector, to provide strategic direction to scientific research. The Atmanirbhar Bharat vision calls for breakthroughs in semiconductors, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, space technology, and green hydrogen. Key numbers to lock in: R&D spending at about 0.64% of GDP, the 50,000 crore corpus of the Anusandhan NRF, and the 37 CSIR labs. For prelims, remember DBT, DST, CSIR, and the Anusandhan NRF Act. For mains, discuss science and technology policy, the R&D ecosystem, and fiscal priorities. Environmental concerns have resurfaced around the Kenbetwa River Interlinking Project, the first link under the National River Linking Project. The project intends to transfer surplus water from the Ken River in Madhya Pradesh to the Wataskar's Betwa Basin, benefiting about 10.64 lakh hectares of agricultural land, providing drinking water to 62 lakh people and generating 103 megawatts of hydropower. Approved by the Cabinet in December 2021, the project carries an estimated cost of 44,605 crore rupees and is slated for completion by 2030. However, the proposed Daura Dam would submerge roughly 9,000 hectares of the Panna Tiger Reserve, threatening a relocated tiger population and requiring the felling of 10 lakh trees. The National River Linking Project, originally conceived by Dr. K. L. Rao in the 1970s and revived under the NDA government in 2003-04, envisages linking 30 major rivers through 30 links. Kenbetwa is link 1. The Supreme Court is monitoring the project, and green clearances have been challenged by environmental groups and tribal communities. Remember, the project's cost, the area of submergence, and the benefits to agriculture and water supply. These facts are vital for prelims, while for mains you can analyze the trade-off between water security and biodiversity, and the role of judicial oversight. Fiscal federalism is again in the spotlight. A recent PIB release and academic discussions highlighted tensions over the 41% tax devolution recommended by the 15th Finance Commission for the 2 lakhs 2126 period. The Finance Commission, a constitutional body under Article 280, is constituted every 5 years to recommend the share of central taxes to be devolved to the states. The 15th Finance Commission, chaired by N.K. Singh, reduced the state's share from 42% in the 14th Commission to 41%, adjusting for the creation of the Union Territories of Jammu and Kashmir and Ladakh. Devolution includes vertical sharing, center to state, and horizontal sharing, distribution among states based on criteria such as income distance, area, population, forest cover, tax effort, and demographic performance. States are also concerned that an increasing share of centrally sponsored schemes is tied to central funding, thereby curbing fiscal autonomy. Moreover, the central government's obligation to compensate states for GST revenue shortfalls, triggered when growth falls below 14%, ended in June 2022, leaving many states with a sharp revenue gap. The 16th Finance Commission, chaired by Arvind Panagaria, was constituted in 2024 and will cover the 2,2631 period. Key points to note: Article 280, the 15th Finance Commission's 41% devolution, the ending of GST compensation in June 2022, and the upcoming 16th Finance Commission under Arvind Panagaria. These are frequent prelims items, and for mains you can discuss fiscal federalism, cooperative federalism, and the challenges of centrostate financial relations. In the realm of geophysics, researchers from Stanford University have published a study in Nature Geoscience that identifies a cluster of mantle earthquakes beneath the Himalayan fold and thrust belt. Unlike the usual shallow crustal quakes, these events occur at depths of 80 to 120 kilometers below the Mohorovi discontinuity, or Moho, which separates the crust from the mantle. The Moho lies at about 35 to 40 kilometers depth under continents and was named after Croatian seismologist Andrija Mohorovi in 1909. The scientists propose that dehydration embrittlement, where water released from the subducting Indian plate makes the otherwise ductile mantle temporarily brittle, could be the trigger. The Indian plate has been colliding with the Eurasian plate for roughly 55 million years, giving rise to the Himalayas. Understanding these deep-seated tremors has important implications for earthquake hazard assessment across the Indo-Gangetic plain and the Himalayan states. Remember, mantle earthquakes at depths of 80 to 120 kilometers, the Moho depth, and the dehydration embrittlement mechanism. These details are useful for prelims, while for mains you can discuss disaster management and seismic risk in the Himalayan region. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Jana Gana Mana was adopted on 24th January 1950 and lasts 52 seconds. Vande Matram was written by Bankim Chandra Chattopadhyay in 1882 and first sung in 1896. The Prevention of Insults to National Honour Act came into force in 1971. The IT Amendment Rules 2026 become effective on 20th February 2026, with a 2-hour takedown window for deepfakes and a 3-hour window for court-ordered illegal content, replacing the earlier 24-36-hour timelines. Section 79 of the IT Act provides safe harbor, now at risk for non-compliant platforms. IndiGo holds about 63-65% of domestic airline market share, Air India Group about 27-28%, together controlling roughly 90% of routes, and IndiGo is the sole carrier on 60% of those routes. The Bharatiya Vayun Adhiniyam 2024 replaced the Aircraft Act of 1934. The DGCA has about 50% of its technical posts vacant, and in 2025 it granted 236 temporary approvals to foreign pilots. India's airports grew from 74 in 2014 to 163 in 2025, with a target of 350 to 400 by 2047. Aviation turbine fuel taxes now consume 40 to 45% of airline operating costs versus a global average of 25 to 30%. The NEP 2020 introduced the National Educational Technology Forum, and the AI framework follows the three A's: awareness, application, advancement. The target is 5 million A-skilled individuals under the IndiAI mission. The Arctic holds about 30% of undiscovered natural gas and 13% of undiscovered oil, and the Northern Sea route could cut India-Europe shipping distances by roughly 40%. India's Arctic observer status dates from 2013, and the Himadri station was established in 2008 at Nilsund, Svalbard. Tamil Brahmi inscriptions in the Valley of the Kings date to the 1st and 2nd centuries CE, confirming trade recorded in the Periplus of the Erythraean Sea. The Army Act 1950, Air Force Act 1950 and Navy Act 1957 govern defense personnel, while the Official Secrets Act 1923 restricts disclosure of sensitive information. Pandit Deendayal Upadhyay was born on 25th September 1916, died on 11th February 1968, founded Integral Humanism in 1965, and the Mughal Saray station was renamed in 2018. India's R&D spend is about 0.64% of GDP, with a 50,000 crore rupee corpus for the Anusandhan National Research Foundation. The Kenbetwa link costs roughly 44,605 crore rupees, aims to irrigate 10.62 lakh hectares, supply drinking water to 62 lakh people and generate 103 megawatts, but would submerge 9,000 hectares of the Panna Tiger Reserve. The 15th Finance Commission recommended a 41% devolution of the divisible pool, with the GST compensation to states ending in June 2022, and the 16th Finance Commission under Arvind Pangaryo will cover to 0-631. Finally, mantle earthquakes beneath the Himalayas occur at depths of 80 to 120 kilometers, likely caused by dehydration embrittlement, and the Moho lies at 35 to 40 kilometers depth. Now, how does all this connect to your UPSC preparation? Each of these developments touches on core areas of the syllabus: constitutional provisions, governance, international relations, science and technology, environment, and history. By memorizing the key facts, understanding the underlying concepts, and practicing answer writing that links these current events to broader themes, you will be ready to tackle both prelims and mains with confidence.